here we are at the end of day 10 of NaNoWriMo, and the attrition rate is high, or rather, the illness rate is high. Dawn and Tori are out today. I am joined by Ben and Kitty, and we are all wiped. It's been a long, long day. Ben, how was your day, and how did you do?
My day was actually pretty good in terms of existence. Hey, I've been having some pretty shit days in terms of existence lately, so that's a good thing.
We are very glad that you exist.
Yes.
Me too.
And also we are very glad that you have good that your existence has good taste in alcohol.
Me too. Makes it a much more pleasant existence. I did 300 words today.
Cool.
Woo-hoo. And just to give a little peek inside my weird contradictory brain, I worked on my epic story, which I've commented on before, kind of switching gears between one story and the other. And I sat down tonight and I had forgotten I made the switch. So I pulled up the first story, which is sort of a more accessible, kind of almost just like a YA children's story, which is sort of an easy headspace for me. Mm-hmm. And because I had made the switch the night last night, I was writing on the sort of the adult novel that sort of emotionally goes a lot deeper. Then I sat down in front of my YA story today and I was trying to write and I'm like, what? Why isn't this making any sense? Like, I can't get into this at all. Like, there's this little boy who's just having this little minor conflict with his family. Like, what? And then I was like, oh, I was just writing the other story last night. So I had to then go back, you know, just pick up the one I was actually writing. So, I don't know if anybody else can relate to that, but that happened. Nice. I got Dan laughing over here, so.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of sympathy there. Project switching has that peril.
Yeah.
Or just being me and trying to write a YA book and dealing with torture by the secret police and murder and, oh, boy, yeah, it's been a dark story. But I'm having
fun. It's a dark and stormy brain.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Of course, it isn't necessarily my YA book is actually supposed to be YA in the more traditional sense of it, of the term. But the hero in that story is a 12-year-old boy. And then the heroine in my sort of adult story is a 14-year-old girl. So the age of the characters isn't really what's in question here. It's more the content of the story and the kind of story it is.
How about you, Kitty? What was your day like and how did you do?
Let's see, I had my publisher hat on today for most of the day and am reading one of Dan's finished novels for publication later this year, doing a proofreading pass, continuity pass. This particular novel is part of the big series, and it's significantly changed due to a new first volume. So it has to be in continuity with the first book now. But anyways, I've spent most of the day reading someone else's writing very, very carefully. I did, however, get 700 words in.
Excellent. Yeah, 718 by the count you put on the spreadsheet.
Excellent.
Yeah, I had a little bit of this and a little bit of that to do today. Helped the neighbor weld a new bracket for his snowplow and made pizza sauce for a pizza party.
It's a very tasty pizza and pizza sauce, I will say.
I also made pizza crust.
And chased the dog all over creation. She had a hell of a runabout today. But I finally wound up getting down to work at about 4:30 this afternoon. And for the first time all month, I turned in a respectable professional word count. I got 4,116 words today. And that feels really good. That's about where I should be producing regularly.
For those of you not in this room at the time that we are recording, Ben and I are currently pantomiming stabbing motions in Dan's general direction.
And bowing down, worshiping motions.
We're not worthy. We're not worthy.
Yeah. Oh, I thought that was a stabbing motion.
No. That was it was genuflecting.
Well, I'm worshiping Kitty's stabbing.
Okay.
Oh, no, it feels really good. I haven't written 4,000 words of fiction in a day in over a year. I have done a couple of days like that of nonfiction, but not of fiction. And it feels really good. There's a sense that I'm sort of coming back into form. I just hope it's not a fluke. So, we shall see. It's going to be snowing tomorrow, so hopefully that means more time in front of the keyboard.
Given the weather around here, we should probably make sure that our computers are quite charged up.
Oh yeah, the UPSs are all charged up, the computers are all charged up.
But it will probably at least mean that we spend less time chasing the dog out.
Yeah, probably true.
If she bolts, I'm just going to let her run around in the snow until she gets cold. Hear that, girl?
She's asleep over there on the floor. All right, so because we're all pretty wiped, we're going to go watch a movie or something and leave you guys to be entertained by one of the questions we have recorded for occasions just like this when we're too wiped out to actually entertain you on our nightly check-ins. So, have fun.
Today we hear once again from Melissa, who asks,
knowing your love of etymology, what about contractions? While in dialogue, I don't usually mind using can't and don't, but in narrative or professional, i.e. work-related writing, I detest can't. I prefer to use cannot as two words because I like how it sounds and that it emphasizes the not aspect of the phrase. Yet everyone, editors, word, grammar checkers, wants me to make it cannot as one word, and I hate it. Why did we merge those two words? I know why some words like canceled, cancel, and color, changed, mostly because of what, and she's using British and American spellings, mostly because of classifieds where you paid by the letter, but what is it with cannot versus cannot? Most of the time I refuse to change it, but why is it that way?
I don't know exactly, but I can venture a few guesses, all of which might be partially true. Telegraphy, I'm guessing, probably had a lot to do with it, because the convention seems to creep into books in the late 19th century. And in telegraphy, you also paid by the letter, but contractions were not as acceptable in formal communications, and so you shrink cannot by one letter when you do cannot. Another possibility is that it reflects the way the word is spoken in common parlance. People don't usually say can not. They usually say cannot. But, like you said, they do separate for emphasis. The way I tend to approach contractions personally is it depends entirely on the voice of the piece. If I want to emphasize the not, I will separate can and not. If I don't want to separate, or if I don't necessarily want to emphasize the not, I will just write cannot. If I'm doing a conversational voice, which I frequently do now, I will use can't or cannot. Like with so many other things, I tend to view language choice as a sort of musical performance option. So I'll use, in the same book, I will interchangeably use contractions and not contractions and formalized separation versus ramming words together based on how I want the prose to sound in the reader's head. And I do that in formal communications as well as informal. Now, formal, you have a formal voice, and so you break into the contractions if you want it to sound a little more matey, as the British would say, rather than strictly off-putting and formal, or if you're trying to go for an economy of words. Again, it's entirely, as far as I'm concerned, it's entirely a style thing based on your ear. We just watched just a fantastic movie last night called Inkheart. It was done about 10, 12 years ago, and got wide release in Europe, but not much release in the U.S., Brendan Fraser film. If you've ever seen The Neverending Story, it's got a lot in common with that. I highly recommend it. It's on Netflix right now. Any writer should watch that movie. It is utterly delightful. But one of the things I noticed as we were watching it is the main character, Brendan Fraser's character, speaks with very formal English. A lot of the characters around him are speaking in dialect, either Cockney or London RP or regular everyday street language. But Brendan Fraser's character speaks like someone who reads a lot of books to himself silently. And it's a very subtle thing. But his phrasing has a little bit of an archaic tinge to it, like, for example, my speaking voice did when I was a teenager and wasn't terribly social. So I wasn't performing stuff out loud very much, but I was reading a lot of Tolkien and Chesterton and Poe and a lot of older books. And so my phrasing was slightly formal and a little more circuitous than it is now. And it was just this beautiful, subtle thing. And Brendan Fraser, being Brendan Fraser, pulled it off perfectly. I mean, you wouldn't have even noticed it if your job wasn't working with words, but it leapt out at me as just a wonderful stylistic choice. It made him sort of the reliable narrator center of this crazy adventure, and it made him, by putting him at a slight remove from the action through the way he spoke, it actually made him almost a more relatable character than everybody around him, who was speaking more like the audience would expect them to speak. And it wasn't so overdone that it was stilted. It was just the right amount, and it was beautifully done. So Inkheart, highly recommend. With regards to contractions and whatnot, this is very much a case of let your aesthetics rule. That's part of your voice. Use it the way that you think communicates best. And let your audience come along for the ride. Because they will if the story grabs them. Thank you very much for the question, and I'll see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian, and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.
Support this podcast and keep us going. Go to everydaynovelist.com/support to join up.